Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avraham Golder, and today we begin our fifth Masechta in this Machzor Daf Yomi. We begin Masechta Shkalim. Today we're on Daf Beis, the first Perek, Be'echa Ba'adar. So the three chapters we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'echa Ba'adar Mashmin Ashkalim. On the first of Adar, they, meaning based and proclaim, regarding the payment of the Shkalim. The Gemara asks why the announcement was made on the first of Adar, and answers, Kedei She'aviv Yisrael Eshiklen Bo Nasan. So the Jews will bring their Shkalim in their designated time, and in this way, the withdrawal of the temple chamber funds will be made from the new donations in its proper time on the first of Nisan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, withdrawal of the new shkalim from the temple treasury chamber occurs on the first of Nisan like its initial date in the wilderness. For it's written, and it was in the first month in the second year, on the first of the month, that the Mishkan was erected. And the Brisa states concerning the erection of the Mishkan that on the day that the Mishkan was erected, on that very day, the withdrawal of the Machzor Shekel donations was done in order to pay for the communal offerings. The Gemara brings a second source as well. Point number two, having mentioned that if the proclamation to collect the Shkalim were to be made on the first of Adar Rishon, the Yetzer Hara would cause people to procrastinate, given that they have 60 days to contribute. The Gemara brings more examples of the power of the Yetzer Hara. Rav Yehuda bar Pazi said in the Mem Rebbe, Hen nikra b'lundi ba'eis, can the psukim be read without one being seized by fear at the power of the Yetzer Hara? When B'nai Yisrael were asked to donate for good, meaning for the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, Kol nidivrei, everyone who was generous brought donations. This implies that not everyone was forthcoming with their donation. However, when they were asked to donate for evil, referring to the Chet Egel, the Torah states, V'yisparku kla'am, the entire people removed the gold rings that were in their ears. This implies that even Jews that were not generous by nature donated. The Gemara brings three more examples. And point number three, Rabbi Chagai said in the name of Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Trumos Nemru B'Parshas Zos. Three donations are mentioned in this Parsha, meaning in Parshas Truma. Trumos Adonim, Trumos Shkalim, and Trumos HaMishkan. They are the donation of the sockets for the Mishkan beams and pillars, the donation of Shkalim for the communal offerings, and the donations for the needs of the Mishkan. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma. Speak to b'nei Yisrael and they shall take for a donation. This is the donation of the Adonim, the sockets. Me'ez kol ish ashi yidven libo tikhu es truma si. From every man whose heart will motivate him, you shall take my donation. This is the donation of the Shkalim. V'zos et truma ashi tikhu mi'itam. This is the donation of the Mishkan. Rabbi Avon said that these three donations are also alluded in the psukim of the Machzor Shekel. So once again, the three points are number one. The opening mission of the Masechta states, on the first of Adar, they, meaning Beis Din, proclaim regarding the payment of the Shkalim. The Gemara asks why the announcement was made on the first of Adar, and answers, Kedei She'aviv Yisrael Shiklen Be'onasan, so the Jews will bring their Shkalim in their designated time. And in this way, the withdrawal of the temple chamber funds will be made from the new donations in its proper time on the first of Nisan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said, Trumas Alishka Tchilasa. Withdrawal of the new shkalim from the temple treasury chamber occurs on the first of Nisan, like its initial date in the wilderness. For it's written, and it was in the first month, in the second year, on the first of the month, that the Mishkan was erected. And a Brisa states concerning the erection of the Mishkan, that on the day that the Mishkan was erected, on that very day, the withdrawal of the Machzor Shekel donations was done in order to pay for the communal offerings. The Gemara brings a second source as well. Point number two, having mentioned that if the proclamation to collect the Shkalim were to be made on the first of Adar Rishon, the Yetzer Hara would cause people to procrastinate, given that they have 60 days to contribute, the Gemara brings more examples of the power of the Yetzer Hara. Rav Yehuda bar Pazi said in the name of Rebbe, Hen nikra b'lundi ba'es, can the psukim be read without one being seized by fear at the power of the Yetzer Hara? When B'nai Yisrael were asked to donate for good, meaning for the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, Kol nidivrei, everyone who was generous brought donations. This implies that not everyone was forthcoming with their donation. However, when they were asked to donate for evil, referring to the Chet Egel, the Torah states, Bisparku Koha'am, the entire people removed the gold rings that were in their ears. This implies that even Jews that were not generous by nature donated. The Gemara brings three more examples. And point number three, Rabbi Chagai said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Trumos Nemru B'Parsha Zos. Three donations are mentioned in this Parsha, meaning in Parsha's Truma. Trumas Adonim, Trumas Shkalim, Trumas HaMishkan. They are the donations of the sockets, from the Mishkan beams and pillars, the donation of Shkalim for the communal offerings, and the donations and the needs of the Mishkan. It says in the Pasuk, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, and they shall take for a donation, this is the donation of the sockets, me'ez kol ish ashi yidvenu libo tikhu es truma si, from every man whose heart will motivate him, you shall take my donation, this is the donation of Shkalim, This is the donation you will take from them. This is the donation of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yavin said that these three donations are also alluded in the psukim of the Maksis HaShekel. All right, so now we go to our Simen for Dav Beis, and our Simen is a house. A house. So here goes. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzirah feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, the Truma agents had an all-hands meeting to plan for three different donations. Once again, in slow motion. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, which reminds us, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'echad ba'Adar mashmina ha'shkalim, on the first of Adar, they, meaning Beis Din, proclaim regarding the payment of the shkalim. The Gemara asks why the announcement was made on the first of Adar, and answers so that the Jews will bring their shkalim in their designated time, and in this way, the withdrawal of the temple chamber of funds will be made for the new donations in its proper time on the first of Nisan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, Trumas halishka ketchilas, the withdrawal of the new shkalim from the temple treasury chamber occurs on the first of Nisan, like its initial date that occurred in the wilderness. So as the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzirah feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, which reminds us, having mentioned that if the proclamation to collect the shkalim were to be made on the first of Adar Rishon, the Yetzirah would cause people to procrastinate, given that they have 60 days to contribute, the Gemara brings more examples of the power of the Yetzirah. Rav Yehuda bar Pazi said in the name of Rebbe, Hennikra v'lindiba es, can the psukim be read without one being seized by fear at the power of the Yetzirah? When Bnei Yisrael were asked to donate for good, meaning for the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, kol nedivrev, everyone who was generous brought donations. This implies that not everyone was forthcoming with the donation. However, when they were asked to donate for evil, referring to the Chet Egel, the Torah states, v'sparku kol'am, the entire people removed the gold rings that were in their ears. This implies that even Jews who were not generous by nature donated. And the Gemara brings three more examples. So as the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzirah feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, the Truma agents had an all-hands meeting to plan for three different donations. Which reminds Rabbi Chagai said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Trumas Nemar b'Parsha Zos, three donations are mentioned in this Parsha, meaning Parsha's Truma, Trumas Adanim, Trumas Shkalim, and Trumas HaMishkan. The donation of the sockets for the Mishkan beams and pillars, the donation of Shkalim for the communal offerings, and the donations for the needs of the Mishkan. So once again, as the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaimed the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzirah feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, the Truma agents had an all-hands meeting to plan for three different donations. All right, now it's time to go to our four Blatbach Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Ches, so the symbol Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. A great halo was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels. Mega-sized kichels? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. A great halo was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa. Revi gomer is a halo, v'omra halo ha-gado, over the fourth cup. One completes the halo and recites the great halo. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. There are those that say he recites Hashem Roli Lo Echsar. He recites Psalm 23, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Gemara asks, why is it called halo ha-gado? Rabbi Yochanan said, because this psalm relates to the Kadosh Baruch Hu who dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. As it says, Nosen lechem v'chol basar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what do the 26 reasons to give thanks in Hodu respond to? They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, and he didn't give them the Torah, v'zan osam b'chazdo, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. So a great halo was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe upon people being redeemed as they crossed through the sea, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of statements based on Pesukim about the difficulty that providing food for people involves. A man's food is twice as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth, it's more difficult than the Geula, and more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf. So a great halo was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe, upon people being redeemed as they crossed through a sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. Which reminds us, Rabbi Nassim said, Ve'emes Hashem lo'olam, dagim shebayam amaru, and the truth of Hashem is eternal, was said by the fish in the sea. And this is based on Rabbi Barmari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yamsuf, after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, just as we're emerging from this side, so are the Mitzrim emerging from the other side. Whereupon, Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptian corpses. The sea complained, Rabbono Shalom, klum yesha evit shenosim rabu matana, v'chozim enotu mimenu. Master of the universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him? The Rashbam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. Hashem assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the pasuk states, "V'yar Yisrael Mitzrayim meisal svasayim," and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the debt was repaid through the Kishon Brook swelling the 900 chariots under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, "Ve'emes Hashem olam," and the truth of Hashem is eternal. Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Sefer Kuf Yud Tes, is a kite. So here goes. At the annual kite festival, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. At the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land, which reminds us what Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, "Kol kesef zahav shebo olam Yosef liktu bo hiviu Mitzrayim." Yosef gathered all the silver and gold in the world and brought it to Mitzrayim, and when Bnei Israel went up from Mitzrayim, they took all the money from them, as it stated, "Yinatzu etz Mitzrayim," and they emptied Mitzrayim. The money remained in Eretz Yisrael until the reign of King Rehoboam. Thereafter, it was repeatedly taken from the Jewish people by the other nations and then recaptured by them until it was taken in succession by the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and it still remains in Rome. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha, which reminds us that we learn from V'yigdal HaYelad V'yigamal, and the child Yitzhak grew and was weaned, and Avram made a great feast on the day Yitzhak was weaned, that Asid Kosh Baruch Hu Aso Su'udos Tzedikim, that in the future Kosh Baruch will make a great feast for the Tzedikim on the day that he bestows his kindness upon the progeny of Yitzhak. At that time, after they eat and drink, they'll then offer the Koshel Bracha to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua to recite Birchas HaMazon, and each one will say that they cannot recite the Bracha for different disqualifying reasons. It will then be offered to David HaMelech, who will say, "Ani Avarech V'li Na Levarech," I shall recite Birchas HaMazon, and it's fitting for me to recite, as it says in the pasuk, "Kos Yeshua's Eso B'Shem Hashem Akra," I shall raise the cup of salvations, and the name of Hashem I will invoke. The Marshal explains that since David built Yerushalayim and his son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he was qualified to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the major themes of Birchas HaMazon, such as Bris Milah, the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast, where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha and reminded a chef not to bring out the Viennese dessert table. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Eim aftirin akra Pesach afikomen." We may not conclude the Seder meal after eating the Pesach offering with afikomen. Rav said this means shul yakrim chabura chabura, that after eating the Pesach, people should not uproot themselves from their group to go join another group. The Rosh Hashanah explains that according to Rav, the word afikomen is a contraction of the words afikuminaihu, take out your eating utensils from here so we can go and eat somewhere else. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pesach cannot be eaten two places, the Rabban prevented the eating of any food in another place, lest someone take along some of the Pesach meat and eat it in the second place as well. According to Rav, if one remains in his original place, he may eat other foods as well. Shmuel says it means that after the Pesach, one should not eat desserts, which were called afikomen, a contraction of afikumine, bring out a variety of sweets. The Rosh Hashanah explains that since kadshim should be eaten in the manner of kings who do not eat ravenously, the Pesach should be eaten late in the meal when one is no longer hungry. Eating after the Pesach would suggest that one is still hungry. Tosafot say the reason is that the taste of the mitzvah should remain in our mouths. Daf Kuf Chaf. The siman is a cook. So here goes. The cook. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabbanan, which reminds us, Rav says, matzah bezman azed deraisa, umaror derabbanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but maror nowadays is a mitzvah derabbanan. And the Gemara explains that maror is not deraisa because the Torah requires the carbon Pesach be eaten on matzah's morarim, with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this. Bezman deka Pesach, yesh maror, bezman deleka Pesach, leka maror. That when there's a carbon Pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon Pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, "Be'erev tochu matzos," in the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, you shall eat matzos. Rav Achmar Yaakov disagrees and says that matzah and maror are both derabbanan nowadays, and the pasuk "Be'erev tochu matzos," in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamei or b'derech rechoka, or on a distant road, who cannot partake of the Pesach, still is a chiyuv deraisa to eat matzah. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only derabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, which reminds us, the brisa that supports Rav states, "Sheishes yamim tochum matzos b'yom shvi atzeres l'Hashem el kechot." For 6 days, you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here, we may infer, "Mashvi rishus av sheishes yamim rishus." Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there is no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The Bryce explains how this inference was made. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only the Rabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by chatzos. Which reminds us that the Mishnah states, HaPesach Acher Chatzos Metameis Yadayim. The Karban Pesach makes the hands tame after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes noser because it may no longer be eaten, and noser is metame one's hands mid the Rabban. Rav Yosef says that this Mishnah is only consistent with the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as it was taught in a Braisa that the Pesach states, V'achos Abasim Bolayla Zeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rabbi Elazar says that it says on this night, Bolayla Zeh, and it says, regarding Makos Bechoros, V'avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim Bolayla Zeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as Malchus Bechoros refers to night up until midnight, so to hear by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rabbi Akiva said to him, but is it not say that you shall eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you shall eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak, when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pesach b'layla zeh is coming to teach that one must have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other kadshim. The Pesach comes to teach, b'laylu ne'achol ve'eno ne'achol b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Belazim and Azariah holds that it's innocent the rice that they eat the Pesach after Chatzos. Daf Kuf Chafal of the Siman is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer, that must be more on Daf Kuf Chafal. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy cone leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mafagel his enemy's carbon, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis stated a pigel v'nos metame siyadayim, pigel, and nos from metame the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said the Rabbanan created this rule because of Chashde Gehuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzle Gehuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the two Amoraim did not disagree. One taught that pigel's metame the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon pigel so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands to be matriach the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that noser is matami the hands to prevent lazy kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy kohen leave over some kodesh meat, while another one was mafagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them. Which reminds us, the Mishnah records about Malchus Tanaim about someone who was eating meat of the Karban Pesach and meat of Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. On the Karban Pesach, the bracha that's recited is Le'echo HaPesach, and before the Chagiga, it's Le'echo HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birch, Birchus HaPesach, Patras Shol Zevach, Birch Shol Zevach, Lo Patras Shol Pesach. If one said the bracha for the Karban Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other Karban, but if one said the bracha for the other Karban, the Chagiga, he did not exempt himself from saying the bracha for the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Kiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. The Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a Karban Pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on the two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree that lo shvicha b'klal zrika, pouring, is not included in throwing, and the Machlokes revolves around the issue of whether zrika b'klal shvicha, throwing, is included in pouring. According to Rabbi Shmuel, throwing is included in pouring. So the bracha for the Pesach exempts the bracha for the Chagiga. Rabbi Akiva holds that throwing is not included in the pouring, and therefore he requires a separate bracha for the Pesach and Chagiga. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer, who was incensed when he saw a lazy Cohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mafagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his sons, Pinyon of Ben. Which reminds the Gemara brought the incident of Rabbi Simlai, who attended the Pinyon of Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes a bracha of all Pinyon of Ben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming his son. But they were in doubt as to who recites the Shehecheyanu, the father of the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it as the physical benefit of this mitzvah, meaning the redemption money reaches his hands, or does the father recite it because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Avi Ben Mevarakshtayim, the father of the son recites, the Gemara concludes, V'hokas Avi Ben Mevarakshtayim. And the halacha is that the father and the son recite two brachas. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechta Brachos Shabbos Erev and Pesachim. Number 1. Which have you learned that the question of the bracha on the Pesach exempts the bracha on the Chagiga is based on the machokas of Zrichas Bechal Shvicha, that's on Daf Kuf Chafav. Good. Number 2. Which have you learned that the opening psukim and Parshas Truma refer to 3 trumos, the donation of the Adanim of the communal offerings and for the Mishkan, that's on Daf Beis and Shkalim. Good. Number 3. Which have you learned that the 26th psukim of Hodu correspond to the 26 generations before Kabbalah Sator, that Kosh Baruch Hu fed the Bria through kindness, that's on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that the power of the Yetzirah is evident in that only people of a generous nature gave to the Mishkan, whereas everybody gave to the Egel, that's on Daf Beis and Shkalim. Good. Number five. Which of you know that the matzahs of Maror are lifted, but the meat is not? That's on Duff. Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number six. Which of you know that the sea was given a reward of 1.5 times for spitting the Mitzrayim out on the seashore so Bnei Yisrael could see that they were dead? That's on Duff. Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number seven. Which of you know that the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding the meaning of Afikomen? That's on Duff. A few tests. Good. Number eight. Which of the one that eating matzah on the final 6 days of Pesach is only Rishus? That's on Duff. Kufchav. Good. Number nine. Which of the one that the announcement of the collection of the Maxis HaShakel begins on the 1st of Adar, so the communal funds can be withdrawn on the 1st of Nisan? That's on Duff. Beis and Shkalim. Good. Number nine. Which of the one that the Rabbah holds Maror B'Zman Hazeh is the Rabbanan, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov holds that matzah is too? That's on Duff. Kufchav. Good. And number 10, which of the one that the Mishnah says the Pesach makes the hands tameh if it's touched after Chatzos is going to Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, who holds the Pesach must be eaten by Chatzos. That's on Daf. Kufchav. Excellent. All right, now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which of the one 4 reasons why candles used for Bedikas Chametz and not a torch? That's on Daf. Chesem Sachim. Good. Number 2, which of the one about Kol Isha? That's on Daf. Chavdalad and Brachos. Good. And number 3, which of the one that Moshe ascended and descended from Har Sinai at daybreak? That's on Duff. Pevav and Shabbos. Excellent. Right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.